Welcome to the Mavs Fans for Life podcast. I am Landon Thomas. I'm joined by my co-host, Sean Abaz Makani. And today's episode is the junior episode because we will be talking about Derrick Jones Jr. and the opportunity he's taken advantage of. And then Tim Hardaway Jr.'s Sixth Man of the Year campaign, who at the beginning of the season, he didn't even know what role he had. And then we'll be just talking about our impressions after the first 12 games of the season and the brutal schedule coming up. So, Sean Avaz, Derrick Jones Jr., we were just talking about him before the podcast started. Just his journey that he's been on up until Dallas Mavericks, and he was one of the last players to be signed for this roster, and he jumps to the starting lineup, you know, with his hard work, and it's paying off for him. Just what have you seen from him so far this season?
You know, I think it's, I think you see the luxury of playing with guys like Luka and Kyrie. Like you put a guy who Derrick Jones Jr. has played five teams in 7 years. Like, you know, it's kind of, you know, we were, like you said, we were talking about this before the podcast started, and he's been in the league since 2016. Like it's like crazy to think of, and he's only 26 years old. Like,
wow.
You know, he was undrafted out of UNLV and picked up by Phoenix, and he's bounced around to Miami and Chicago and, you know, ultimately getting a shot here with Dallas. And I think it, you know, it's kind of what we saw with Dorian a little bit, right? Dorian was an undrafted free agent, played with a guy like Luka and you know, made a lot of money because of it. I'm not saying Derrick Jones Jr. is Dorian Finney-Smith, but we've seen the highlight reel from Derrick Jones Jr. We've seen kind of that athleticism and the bounce and the lengthiness, you know, of him being a defender. And that's exactly what this team needed. And you put him, you know, next to a guy like Luka and Kyrie, who, you know, are two of the best passers in basketball. And you can tell he's worked on his game too. I mean, he's shooting the highest, you know, his 3-point percentage is the highest it's been in his career at almost 37% after tonight's game. He's averaging almost 10 points a game, shooting over 52% from the field. Like, that's what more can you ask? Like, that's, you know, he knows his role. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows exactly where he fits on this team, and he provides that kind of bounce. And the Mavericks wanted to get, you know, out and running and get in transition a little bit more, kind of take some of the mileage off Luka and not play in the half court a lot. And Derrick Jones Jr. is like the perfect kind of fit for that because the guy can run the floor with the best of them. And we've seen him do it. We've seen Derek Lively start running the floor. We've seen Grant Williams run. Like it's everything that this front office did over the offseason, which, you know, let's be honest, Derrick Jones Jr. was kind of a question mark when Jason Kidd put him in the starting lineup against San Antonio in the first game of the year. And we're starting to see that kind of pay off here. So he's had a phenomenal season. I mean, I think, you know, he's kind of one of the, you know, a perfect fit, you know, next to Luka and Kyrie. I mean, for what he gives you and kind of the player he is.
Yeah, I've been so surprised, honestly, just every single game. I mean, he's had four 15-point games this season, and he's had four the previous three seasons. I mean, it's been incredible just to watch what he's done so far. And you said it well. I mean, he fits with the stars. He doesn't even need the ball. I mean, he can really just play off those two playmakers. And the pace really helps him as well. You know, he can play that fast-paced basketball that you want to play this season. And it just helps Luka and Kyrie as well, just having someone who can knock down shots. So you really, you know, you really kind of go back. I really don't want to talk about that season so much, but you kind of go back to that Western Conference Finals run where you have two playmakers, you have two guys who can hit threes, and then you have a guy who can really play pick and roll with Lively the second in that Dwight Powell role. So it's really helped him so far. And, you know, Derrick Jones Jr., you said it, he's really improved his three-point shooting. I think that's what's helped him the most out of anything, is because you just look at the previous seasons or just look at his career overall, and the three-point shot wasn't really there. He didn't take that many shots, first of all, and he didn't make that many shots. So just seeing him take more shots, have the confidence to take them, and then make them, I mean, 36.7% from, you know, from the 3-point range is honestly the dream, the best case scenario for Derrick Jones Jr.
Especially for a guy who was shooting it at like 32%, like a 4%, 5% increase year over year. I mean, that's amazing. Like that's like a significant improvement, right? And you look at, you brought up the games where he scored over 15 points. I mean, other than the Chicago game, which the Mavericks still won that game, he scored 17 and had five. He shot 33% from three, but he took nine, right? So he's not scared to let it fly. Like he's got confidence in the shot. Luka and Kyrie clearly have confidence in him to be able to get him the ball and let him take some of those corner threes. And the other games where he scored over 15, he shot 60% from three against Toronto. He shot 67% from three against Memphis, 40% against Washington. So, you know, he's seizing his opportunity. And we talked about it with Josh Green, right? Like when you get put in a situation where you have a chance to take, you know, to show the coaching staff and say, you know what, like you're giving me this chance, I'm not going to give it up. Derrick Jones Jr. did exactly that. Like he could have folded and he could have, you know, it could have been a situation where they're flip-flopping Josh Green and Derrick Jones Jr. every single game and trying to figure out like, hey, who are we going to play? Much like last year where it was like, do we start Tim Hardaway? Do we start, you know, we just kind of flip-flopping within the rotation. And he's completely seized the starting job and I don't see him giving it up the rest of the season the way he's been playing.
And you just brought up a good point, alluded to with Jason Kidd. You know, this season, he's really defined the roles of these players. Like, you know, Derrick Jones Jr., it's not a matchup type start. You know, he is the starter. He started 12 games. I mean, if he has a bad game, he knows it's going to be okay. He's going to be ready the next game and prepare. And I honestly really like him because he's just a chill dude, you know, like his post game presses and just, you know, just seeing him talk and respond to questions. I mean, he tells it like it is, but in a very calm, you know, just a laid back dude. And I really like that because, you know, he really just comes to work and does his job and he knows no one can jump with him. And he knows, this is the season he's talked about. This is the season we're going to talk about him, which we're doing now, you know, and as the season progresses, he'll eventually get his name talked about nationally just from the Mavs' success that they have this season. It's incredible to see. It also points me back to his contract. I mean, he's on a one-year deal. I mean, there's no second year, he's on a prove it deal. There's no options here. I mean, you got to play. If you want the bag, you got to play for the bag. You just mentioned he's 26 and the journey that he's been on, bouncing from team to team, being a good role player, but not playing. You know, he's pretty much a part-time starter, just an energy guy, but now he's actually a good role player. Does that concern you a little bit?
It does. Anytime a player is a free agent, especially on a one-year deal, it's kind of, you know that there's something, you know, behind, like they're going to have a little more fuel, right, to prove themselves and make sure that they're, you know, they've got a chance to get the bag. But I think it's funny because we talk about in the NBA, you know, all these super teams and you know, players teaming up with their guys and stuff like that, but I have a real hard time believing that if you're a player like Derrick Jones Jr. who, you know, was undrafted, just bounced around team to team, you finally found a good fit for you. Like,
yeah,
I have a hard time believing he's going to sacrifice that. Like, you know, Luka's here for the long term. You know, Kyrie's here for the long term. Grant Williams is signed for the long term. Lively's a rookie. Omax is a rookie. There's a solid foundation, you know, in Dallas, and you know, there's going to be some ancillary moves here and there. You know, is it Josh Green gets moved, Tim Hardaway Jr., who we'll get into, you know, there's going to be some small changes like there is to every NBA team, right? But if you're Derrick Jones Jr., like, you know, this is the best you've played in your career. You know, it's because of, you know, whether it's Jason Kidd's coaching, whether it's, you know, I have a high belief that it's a lot has to do with Luka and Kyrie and the way that they've integrated him into the offense and Grant Williams as well. Same can be said about him. Like, I have a hard time believing that he's going to go look for greener pastures somewhere else where he's going to have to kind of start over. And, you know, if he has a bad year, it's going to be like, all right, well, he's a bust again. You know, like, I think he's 26 years old. Yes. But he's played 7 years in the league. Like, he's a veteran. Like, he knows the ins and outs. Like, this isn't, you know, a 22-year-old kid. This isn't Jordan Poole trying to go prove himself, you know, and take a bunch of shots for Washington, you know, like this, he knows who he is. He knows what he's about. And I think if the situation's right, come end of the year and the Mavericks extend an offer, we'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be shocked if he stayed. And quite frankly, if he plays himself into most improved player conversation and he just, you know, he averages 10, 15, you know, 12 a game and another team wants to throw a bag at him, good for him. I mean, that's the NBA for you, right? Yeah. But the hope is that for him, as a guy who's been in the league for quite a while and has played with a bunch of teams, you know, the hope is that he kind of realizes, like, all right, like, I know this is where I've had the best year of my career. It's because of this. Like, I'm going to stick it out here.
Yeah, you pretty much said it. It's the belief and trust from Kidd, and then it's the playmakers and Luka and Kyrie. I mean, I don't think he's ever had not only this many shots, but in this short amount of time, but just I don't think he's had this many wide open shots. The gravity pull from Luka and Kyrie, and then you most of his 3-point shots are wide open. I mean, let's just be honest, and that's really what propelled Dorian Finney-Smith, that kind of similar journey where, you know, you really have an opportunity, but you also worked on your craft to get better at the 3-point range. And that's what's very encouraging to see, and especially if you're evaluating. Obviously, the Mavericks have success right now, but, you know, Nico Harrison and Michael Finley and the rest of them in that front office are always evaluating their talent in-house and outside the house. So when you look at Derrick Jones Jr., you look at his age, you look at the contract that you kind of have to prepare for to bring him back, which, like you said, I think he would want to find a home in the NBA. I don't think he wants to bounce around, you know, every 2 years to different places. So that would be a good place to play in, having those two playmakers and just having the camaraderie that this team has right now. You would want to see him be comfortable in that and stay around that for, you know, the next few years, because he can really build in his prime on what this team is trying to accomplish. And that's either starting or that's being a prime rotation player off the bench. If they bring someone in at the trade deadline or next offseason, you still have a foundational piece with his timeline at 26 years old. So that's very encouraging from the start that we've seen so far.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think he's one of those guys, it seems like he would accept his role no matter what it is, right? So even if, like you said, if Dallas brings in somebody at the deadline and says, hey, man, like, we're going to put you on the bench, but you're going to be our seventh man, you know, or sixth man if Hardaway gets moved or Josh Green gets moved, like, who knows, right? We're still a long time away from that. But he seems like the guy, like a kind of guy who, knows what he's about, knows what his role is, and is comfortable, you know, comfortable in those shoes. He's not trying to be something he's not.
Let's just, I guess that's a perfect segue to the next topic, you know, a player who is himself and not trying to be anything else. I mean, we know Mr. Green Light, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Let it fly to me.
Let it fly, especially this season. I mean, okay, so let's just list off the stats here. The Mavs have played 12 games. Tim Hardaway Jr., he's getting 28 minutes a game. He's scoring 18.7 points per game, rebounding 3.9, his assists 1.7. But, you know, what everyone looks at is the 3-point percentage and the field goal percentage. Most of his shots are threes, but his 3-point percentage is right now, you know, after that game a couple days ago in Washington, his 3-point percentage is 40.2.
Yep.
And his field goal percentage is 44.1. So, Sean Avaz, just what have you seen from Tim Hardaway Jr. after this season? Because it started off where, you know, we were basically telling him that he's going to be a sixth man because he said he hasn't heard it from Jason Kidd yet. And now it seems like he's actually killing this role, and he's one of the leading contenders for sixth man of the year.
Yeah, I've said this for years. I think his best, you know, his best position is off the bench as a sixth man, as a seventh man. I don't think he should be starting. I understand injuries.
Or even the hybrid. You don't like the hybrid?
No, because I think then you get into a situation where we were last year, where it's like, well, what's your role? Are you starting? Or are you not starting? Yeah. And then, you know, when he is starting and, you know, he tries to catch a rhythm, right? Like, he tries to, to take all these shots, and it's very early in the game, and the Mavericks will get down, and you know, they're down 8, they're down 9, and let's be honest, he's not the greatest defender, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't help that he's hoisting up all these threes, but coming off the bench, like, you're talking, okay, the Mavs have a 4-point lead, the Mavs have a 2-point lead, the Mavs are only down by 1. Like, it's not a situation where every shot he takes, we're throwing our arms up in the air saying, oh my God, Timmy, what are you doing? Like we did last year. Like, and Jason Kidd has done a really good job of putting him in at the right situation where he knows, you know, Hardaway's going to come in. He's going to get his, he's going to take those pull up threes. He's going to, you know, the catch and shoot threes. He's been amazing. I mean, he's been a phenomenal catch and shoot player this year, but
yeah,
we still see those transition, you know, pull up threes that he loves to take. And sometimes they're, you know, we're yelling and screaming when he's doing it, but when you're up by 13, like, what is it? Like, who cares? Right? Go for it. Yeah. You know, shoot your shot, man. Like, and I think, again, it's the effect of playing with Luka and Kyrie. Like, one of them is on the floor at all times, and you see them being able to distribute the ball to him. Like, he doesn't have to be the only source of offense off the bench anymore. Like, when you've got one of those two guys on the floor, then you pair that with a Grant Williams, a Derek Jones, OMAX a little bit, Derek Lively, like Dwight Powell is having a great year off the bench. Like, this team is so much more well-rounded than it has been in the last few years, where it masks a lot of what we saw over the last couple of years, right? And I think, and it's a credit to Tim Hardaway Jr. for accepting the role, you know, that's been laid out for him, even though we didn't know what it was going to be, or he didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the fact, you know, that he's pretty much solidified in the six-man role, he's, you know, playing with a chip on his shoulder, he's coming out firing. And look, he's been hot, and at some point he's going to cool down, I would expect. But I mean, when the Mavericks have a lead and Kidd's giving him free reins, and there's a trust between him and Luka and Kyrie, like, he's playing the best basketball of his career, I think, to be honest.
He really is. And two things that you said that stood out to me was playing with a chip on his shoulder and also balanced. Because playing on a chip on his shoulder, when I hear that and I just watch Tim Hardaway Jr. in his play this season, I think it really boils down to trade rumors. Mm-hmm. You know, he even said it. He didn't know if he was going to be on the team. And now now they need him.
Yeah.
Now they really need him. Like, you have to, if you're trading someone, you can't just trade him for like Bertans trying to get rid of the contract, or flexibility, trying to get a couple pieces with his contract, or get one big man and one wing. Like, you have to get a better player. Yep. Like, if you're trading him, you have to get a better player, because you can't lose his production. And it's better to watch his style of play when they're winning than it is when they're losing. Because last season, after the Kyrie trade, he was playing the same way. He was playing really good, but they were losing. And that brings me to the second point that stood out to what you were saying was balance, because he was starting most of those games. And that's the problem. He could really start on this team. He's the third best player, honestly, but you have to be balanced. And that's what really is starting to show, is this team is balanced, because you replace him with a Derrick Jones Jr. who doesn't take those shots, you know, those out of norm shots. And he just comes in and does his job and shoot open shots. But, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., he has that green light, because he's usually only playing with one of the playmakers, and yep. You know, he can take those shots, and this year he's making them. So, you know, there is going to be a slump. There's going to be a time where he's not making them, but you love to see the confidence and actually knowing his role now. Like, okay, so like, now I am the sixth man. It is what it is. I'm not a hybrid. I know I can be a hybrid, because I was in my whole Dallas tenure, but at the same time, we're winning and I get the same amount of shot attempts. I get the same amount of minutes. Okay, I could do this. And like you said, they're putting him in great, great situations. Like, you're not coming in there where you're down 10, you're down 12, or if you start in, because we've seen it, they've had bad starts this season. You know, he's not chucking when they're down. Like, he's coming in there when they're up, so he's already feeling confident. He's like a good, he's like a reliever in baseball, where you have the lead, so you're going to be more confident.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's 100% right. And I think, the thing I really want to see now that, you know, we talk about balance. I really want to see what happens when he does have a bad game, because if you're Jason Kidd, now you have the luxury, and I think we'll see this because and tell me if I'm wrong or if you feel the same way. I'm really impressed with the way Kidd is coached these first 12 games, and I know we'll get into impressions, but I'm really impressed the way that he's kind of turned things around from last year. And again, it's still early, but what do I always say? You know, you got to find where this is what was wrong. How are you changing things? Right? Like what are you doing to overcome those mistakes or fix those mistakes? Yeah. Now if you're Jason Kidd and Tim Hardaway you bring him off the bench and he's cold. Now it's not a situation last year where that's your only option, right? Like, now you mentioned Derek Jones Jr. What about Seth Curry? 15 points tonight off the bench against the Wizards, right? Like, you've got Jaden Hardy. You know, you've got other options now where if Hardaway is cold and he's just not hitting his shots, you can sit him back down and say, all right, man, tonight's not your night. Seth, go, you're in. Or, hey, Derek, you're going to play 35 minutes tonight instead of 25. Or, Jaden, your turn, buddy, go. You know, and we've seen Jaden Hardy take advantage of his limited minutes this year, too, right? So, I think if you're Jason Kidd, you've got that luxury now, and I'm really interested to see over the next month or so when Tim Hardaway does eventually have that cold game, because it will happen. Like, he's not going to stay this hot. Eventually, when it does happen, I'm very interested to see what that rotation then looks like.
Yeah, it's honestly a plug and play. They kind of we thought it would be at the center position where it's really a we thought it was going to be a three-headed a center by committee with Powell, Lively, and Holmes. But Lively has really taken the reign on that. But it's really a three-man committee at the wing. It's really Derek Jones Jr. to start. Tim Hardaway Jr., the middle, do your thing. And then we've seen in close games, obviously not the past few games, but we've seen in close games, Josh Green finishes with the closing lineup. So, you really have three people who can plug and play. And then if Curry, like you mentioned, Hardy or one of those guys is hot, you ride with them and keep it going. You kind of have a toolbox, and it's really what you need that game. And injuries play into that as well. So that kind of hampers your solidified rotation that you want. But it's still early in the season. But just from what we've seen, Kidd really has a toolbox, and he doesn't have to play Hardaway as much as he did last season, because you just mentioned, with those injuries after the Kyrie trade, even before the Kyrie trade, he was most nights he was the second guy, he was the second option, and they were losing a lot and he was taking a lot of shots. So now it's just taking open shots, and that's what you want to see, because when he's open, he honestly has probably top five best form in the league. Watching that shot form, but it's like you said, the dribble pull-ups or the dribble drives. I mean, those are not really his forte, but and when they're winning, he can do it.
Yeah, he's done a better job at getting to the line too. What, he missed his first three free throws of the season, like the last two games, last night and tonight. So
yeah,
he's shooting over 90% from the free throw line. Like, he's doing a good job of getting there, and I'm really happy. And I completely overlooked this, but, Kyrie obviously missed tonight's game against Washington. Jason Kidd could have easily said, yo, Timmy, you're going to start. Like, you're having this crazy season. We're going to put you in the starting lineup. No. What did he do? Put Josh Green in there. Why? Timmy's been great off the bench. Like, keep him that way. Like, keep him coming off the bench. It's clearly working. Like, it's a good sign to see that Jason Kidd didn't say, let me just put Tim Hardaway Jr. in there, because Josh Green didn't have a great game against Washington offensively, right? 0-for-4, all from three. But if Tim Hardaway Jr. had started, like, who's to say he wasn't, he wouldn't have, shot the ball worse, right? Or would have had 12 points instead of what, over the 20s. Like, who's, he wouldn't have shot the ball that well. And then what do you do off the bench? Like, is Seth, are you going to play Seth 30 minutes off the bench? Like, all these, there's a trickle-down effect of all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way Kidd has to manage his lineups tonight was a perfect example. Kyrie's out. Let's go plug in Josh Green. Keep Timmy off the bench and keep going with what's working right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you look at it, who's really in competition? I mean, Caris LeVert is probably one of the only ones that's in competition with him. He's averaging 19. He's having a great season off the bench. But when you look at others around the league, I mean, I think it's just Hardaway and Caris LeVert right now leading that competition. And you're obviously going to take wins into factor. I mean, Cleveland's off to a bad start, but still early. We'll see how both teams finish, or we'll see if anyone else makes a huge jump. But right now, I mean, those are two players that go in slumps and then they have highs.
Averaging over 18 a game coming off the bench. Like, I know Mathurin averaged, what, like almost 20 last year for Indiana, like off the bench. Like, those are crazy numbers, right? I mean, that's wild. And we talked about this a couple years ago. Who was it? We were saying didn't we say it was like Derek White should have been nominated? We're like, he started half the games for Boston and half were off the bench. Like, that doesn't count. Like, you got to be a true bench player, right? And Hardaway's, look, right now I think he's a leading candidate, but it's really early to tell. But if he keeps this up and if he averages over 15 a game, I'll be happy. Like, I assume
that's what it really boils down to. It is how many points a game and how many, and what's the percentage?
And if he's from this the bitch, if he's shooting over 38% from three, I'll take that every single day.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out the rest of the season. It's going to be interesting to see if he's still here, but he's playing like he should be.
Yeah, and you know what? That. The way the Mavericks have constructed their roster now gives you options, because now you can look at, if you're in a playoff push come February and you say, you know what, we've got to keep Hardaway, like the way he's playing off the bench, but we've got to make upgrades other places. Well, guess what? Now you've got young players like a Jaden Hardy, like a Josh Green that are under contract that you can potentially move with other first round picks over the summer. Do you make the decision to re-sign Hardaway to a team friendly deal, right? Will he come back for 2 years, $25 million, right? Like, less than he's making now. And then again, you utilize some of these younger assets, plus you'll have access to all your draft picks. Do you go make another big swing for a third star, which, quite frankly, I don't think this team needs right now. I think the way that they're balanced, I think is great. We've seen this whole three-star theory like not work out. Look at what's happening in LA with the Clippers. Phoenix can't stay healthy. Like, you need two like really, really good, great players and then perfect role players around them. Look at how did Denver win the title last year? You had Nikola Jokic, your superstar, Jamal Murray, your all-star, and then fantastic role players all around them. Like, that's how you have to build your team for sustained success in the NBA, and that's what Dallas has done. Doesn't mean they're going to win the title this year, but if you're going to keep that up, now with this roster and the way that you've built it, you've got options to move some of these pieces and kind of figure out how to mold this all together to get us back to a title.
Yeah, and that's really the plan that you want to look at is Denver. I mean, you said it best. And there's some other teams around the league, but just true, having two really good guys and then a lot of great role players that shine in their role. And that's really the path they were on a couple of years ago. But, they took some hits. Brunson left, but they slowly – and at the same time, quickly got back to, doing what they want to do. And it's good to see, because honestly, right now, when you look at this team, I mean, we both said it. We both predicted them to be 7th seed. Yeah. And, so what they're doing right now, if they can withstand it or at least sustain similar success, I mean, if you can be a top 4 seed or even, let's just say, top 5 seed, that's an incredible leap for what happened last season, where they didn't even make the play-in, and they tanked. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, they forked over the season to get a good pick, and they got Lively, who looks like can be your center for the next 15 years. So, I mean, that sounds great to me. And then if they could just – I think they're one piece away, honestly. You can really make some noise. So,
Hats off to Derek Lively, because he played 13 games at Duke last year and never scored more than 11 points. And he's played 12 games this year and has 2 games, one of 16, one of 17.
Yeah, and you said it. You talked about Derek Jones. I mean, just Lively is playing off of Kyrie and Luka. They're making his development so quick where he's honestly, he doesn't have to be outside of his norm. He just, right. he just be in the right spots and have your hand ready and grab rebounds, and your success is going to come to you. I mean, if freaking Wimby and Chet were in this rookie class, he would be the, you know, he oh, would man. Be looked at as one of the probably, you know, obviously the best big guy, but probably, you know, leading rookie of the year. I mean, it's
he'll get
just
overlooked. He'll get overlooked just because it's Wimby and Chet, right? Like, it's not going to matter what numbers yeah. they put up. It's
and Thompson
be-
with or
yeah,
Thompson with Detroit.
Detroit, I yeah, mean, he's going to get overlooked just because the other two big names, you know, Holmgren obviously got injured last year, so he's still a rookie technically, and Wemby is, you know, but I think that's fine. Like, he was overlooked in college. Like, nobody thought he was going to be like great. He just showed out at the combine. He played 13 games. Like, what do you expect to see? Right. It was, yeah. it's kind of like, you just, he fit a need. Let's just take him and see what we can do, you know, but you put a player in the right situation and look what happens.
And on the flip side, he was a consensus top three player in high school.
Yeah, he was.
A couple of the sites, he was number one or two. And, it just shows you the potential that he has. And also, just playing with Luka and Kyrie, you could tell the next 5 years, he's really going to grow quickly. Mm-hmm. It's not something where even us, we thought, hey, you know, he'll be good in a couple of years, but like he's good now, you know, yeah. him with and that, Gafford, Daniel Gafford. I mean, they were looking like twins. I mean, and that's one of the players every Mavs fan wanted the past few years, Gafford. So, and he's 19.
Hats off to him, man. He's taking advantage of his opportunities, right? Like he's in the right place. What do you have, like three alley-oops in a row today against Washington? Like just every, like Grant Williams found him for a couple inside passes. Luka hit him on a couple alley-oops driving the lane. I mean, he knows where to be, when to be. He's playing smart. You know, the foul thing, you know, he's young. He'll clean that up and he'll learn, you know, how to, you know, he still does the summer league thing where he just puts his hands up straight like this as opposed to trying to swat the ball. And I think that's part of it is getting into foul trouble. And I think that's going to come with time. But for 19 yeah. and, you know, you're doing this much damage, like that's awesome. It's great to see.
And he has self-awareness. That's yeah. one of the best things. Obviously, we talked about his maturity and his growth and the things he's been through, but he has self-awareness and on his foul trouble. He knows he gets in foul trouble, and he's starting to show it. Like, you saw it in the Wizards game where I think, you know, the first, 10 games or so, you know, he was trying to foul and just try to make a play. Or try to, or put his hands up, like you said, and it becomes a foul mm-hmm. because they're hitting, they're getting the body, or just something happens. Where now, in that Wizards game, he let a few of them just go. Like yeah. he said, just go and get the layup. I'll, you know, yeah, go I'm ahead and exactly. And that's how you be a smart big yep. man in the league. Where it's like, who cares if the other post gets a few layups? I mean, you don't have to go after everything. You're trying to play the whole game. And that's where the maps are good.
Especially when it's the Wizards. Like, let them get a couple. Let them feel good about themselves.
That team
like,
is so fine. Bad. That team is so bad, man. They need a number one pick.
It's not even fun. Like, some there's some bad teams that are like, man, like, they're kind of fun. Like, they're just annoying to watch. I don't know what it yeah. is.
Well, it's because, like, their top players are all, like, fourth best guys on good teams, and then they have like six of the same type of guys.
Yeah,
you know, they have like six forwards. They're all the same type of guys. But I do like the rookie, but it's just, man, that team is bad. Yeah, okay,
bad.
So, Shanavaz, have you seen the schedule?
Yeah.
The schedule is about to pick up. I mean, they're 9-3, which is great. That's the first, you know, impression of 12 games, and we can go into detail on our impressions here. But before we get to that, what do you think about this schedule? So the next five games, they play the Bucks, the Kings, and that's a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Then they play the Lakers and the Clippers. Those are on the road. So you have three out of four next games on the road against yep. those quality teams, even though the records might show it, but they have the talent. And then the Rockets, who you at the beginning of the year, oh, we'll get an easy win there. They're one of the best teams right now.
Yeah, Ime Udoka, good coach.
So what do you think about those five games coming up?
Well, first off, I'm glad that there's not an in-season tournament game until the one against the Rockets, and I'm hoping our court's not fixed for that, because that I'm
just so leaving in leave so the court on the ground or in the hallway.
So yeah, it's yeah. just ridiculous. Also, the travel schedule, like, are you going to fly to Milwaukee, fly back to Dallas to play the Kings, and then fly to L.A.? Like, that's not easy. You know, that's a tough route to take.
You're not having practice. You're just playing games.
No, you're just going to go out there, you know? It's a tough stretch. These are all, like, playoff teams, you know, other than the Rockets that the Mavs have to go through. And you know, former champions, obviously, in the Lakers and the Bucks, and neither of these teams, I feel like, are at their strongest yet. Like, we're still early in the year. Like, we've seen Milwaukee struggle a little bit this year. Sacramento just got De'Aaron Fox back.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers, you know, LeBron's playing like 35 minutes a game. Like, that's not sustainable, like, for him. Yeah. And then the Clippers are just a dumpster fire. But hey, they went toe to toe with Denver last night, right? So
yeah, and they'll be at home.
And they'll be at home
this time.
Yeah. So it's a really important stretch. If Dallas can come out of the first four games, I'm not even going to count the Rockets game, because those intercity
Rockets are 6-3.
They're a good team. Oh, I mean, they're not a good team, but Ime Udoka's got them playing hard.
That's right? What I'm saying.
And let's not forget, Dylan Brooks will. I do want to see Dylan Brooks versus Grant Williams. I think that's going to be a fun matchup, and I think those two are going to jaw at it, because I bet Dylan Brooks is going to try to get under Luka's skin, try to get him a tech. And I, you know, like we've seen this year, Grant Williams is going to have his back. So that's going to be fun to see those two kind of chirping at each other. But, you know, those interstate, you know, rivalries, I mean, the Mavericks dropped a couple to Houston last year, dropped some to San Antonio the past couple of years when they haven't been good. And those are always kind of just, it's kind of like football, right? You play in your own division, you know the team really well, you know the players on that team really well. You know the staff really well, because you've played against them for so long, especially in San Antonio. So it's kind of a lot. Like, there's always some funky stuff that happens with those games. But
yeah,
if the Mavericks can split these first four games, you know, if you take one against one of the LA teams, and you take one against Milwaukee and Sacramento, great. Like, I think that's ideal. Like, I think you would honestly say going into this season, before the James Harden trade, I think most people would have agreed that all four of those teams were better than Dallas.
Yeah.
Coming into the year, right? I don't think there's any debate about that. So if you can go in and split, or if you can go 3-1 in those four games, you know that what you've been doing these first 12 games are legit. And you keep doing it. And the hope is that Kyrie's back. You know, and he sat out against Washington with the foot injury, but the hope is that he's back. And if he's not, look, Timmy stepped up tonight. Who's going to be the other person to step up against, you know, teams like, you know, like a Milwaukee, where now it's not just Giannis. You got to deal with Dame, you know, you know, in Sacramento, you've got to deal with Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. Like, they're both, all these teams are going to have multiple stars that you've got to account for. So it's a pretty big test early on in the year for Dallas.
Yeah. And to be honest, when I look at the schedule coming up, I'm just glad that THJ is okay with that scare at the end of the Wizards game where Kuzma slid into his leg. You know, on the broadcast, they said he was okay and he will be able to play tomorrow against the Bucks. So that's good. He was going to be able to play in that game. Hopefully he can play in the next game, because they're going to need it. I mean, you're playing these quality teams. You're going to need someone who has the ability to score 20 points. And let's just be honest, someone who can just put shots up. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's the problem if Kyrie or Luka don't play in this back-to-back, you know, against the Bucks or Kings, you're going to need THJ, because I really don't see Grant or Josh Green or Derek Jones or, you know, Steph Curry. Maybe, but you know, I don't see those guys creating their own shot, and that's the problem. It's not their game.
The only ones you can think on this roster are THJ and Jaden Hardy outside of Luka.
Yeah, Jaden Hardy. And does he get that many minutes? I mean, you see kids really with Exum, Curry, and Hardy, he really just goes with who's playing great.
Yep.
You know, in Wizards game, it was Curry's night, and Hardy didn't play that much. So
I can bet we'll see a lot of Dante Exum against Milwaukee and Sacramento. Because when you've got when you're going up against him and De'Aaron Fox, like, you're going to need a big body guard to stay in front of them. So I wouldn't expect to see Jaden Hardy much in either of those.
Well, especially the Kings game, because they play with pace, and Fox is fast. So yes, you're going to need Exum to be on that pressure. And like you said, Dame, you're going to need someone to put those defensive pressure on those two. So I'm with you. They got to split these next four games, and they got to win the Rockets game for sure. So yeah, they got to be 3-2 in this next five game stretch. And worst case scenario, they got to be 2-3, which will be fine as well. It's basketball, but they can't be 1-4.
You can't go 1-4 on the stretch. No,
no. Especially with the season that they've had so far, you're 9-3. So if you go 3-2 and, you know, be 12-5, that's a great 17 game stretch of the season, and way ahead of what we've honestly thought they would be at. So, okay. So that's the schedule coming up, and it gets even worse, honestly, because after that,
I'm like, man,
Memphis is Memphis, but each game they're competitive.
Yeah. Okay. He looks good.
OKC. Then they have Memphis again.
Minnesota looks good.
Lakers, and then Minnesota.
Nuggets, Clippers again. How many times are we going to play the Clippers this year? Was that three times already in the first two months?
Might as well be in the division.
Jeez.
Okay, so we'll just go game by game. As long as the threes are falling, Mavs will be fine.
There you go.
What we've seen so far, if the threes are off, just
pray.
Just pray.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Shanavaz, last words of the pod. What's been we kind of talked about Derek Jones Jr. and Tim Hardaway Jr., the junior episode, but what's been your just overall impressions? What has stood out to you the most from the 12 games this season thus far?
I'm going to go with, and it's a cheese answer, but I'm going to go Luka. I think,
yeah,
and it's not, you know, Luka's putting up Luka numbers and doing what he does, but not really, right? Like, shooting 43% from three, like, that's not Luka. Those aren't Luka numbers. Like, he's a below, you know, generally 38-35% 3-point shooter. The guy's killing it from three right now. But I think you're seeing more hustle. We saw the play today in Washington where he airballed the three and ran for the rebound and got it back out to THJ for the, and Tim Hardaway got fouled on the three. I mean, you're seeing a lot more hustle. You're seeing more communication between him and teammates. You're seeing more smiles. Like, it's kind of cheesy, right? But those are things that matter when it comes down to enjoying playing with your teammates and having fun on the court. And even in the Mavericks have been in almost every single game, like even the Toronto game and the Denver game that they lost, they were in it. Like, it wasn't completely out of hand. Sure, yesterday against New Orleans, it happens, right? Like, games like that are going to happen to anybody. Luka's bound to have a bad game here and there. But, you know, he rebounded tonight, and that's the mark of a great player. Like, you have one bad game, you come back, and you show why you're a top three player in the NBA. And I think you're seeing a much more efficient Luka. The usage rate is down. You're seeing him pass the ball off more. There's a trust in his teammates, I think, that we haven't seen in a long time. So if that keeps up and that maintains, that's going to be fantastic, you know, down the stretch of the season.
That's a good answer. I mean, it's an obvious answer, but it's a good answer because he has been hooping, and we don't have to wait for, you know, 12, 15 games to get him back in shape and start balling out. He's actually started hot. He might be one of the rare occasions where he loses all of the player of the weeks and then probably wins player of the month.
Yeah.
Always go for who's Jokic and Edwards. I mean, you can't argue with that, but just what he's done as well. It's just those other two, they go undefeated that week, and the Mavs will lose one game.
And
so
to them then, yeah.
Yeah, also, so
don't forget, I did say Luka's going to have a vintage Luka game against the Clippers. I did tell you that.
He did. It was on record. It's on record.
He went ham. He just that game started, and he was like, nope, I'm done. Get off the court.
Hopefully he plays like that in the next four games. They're going to need it. I guess, you know, outside of Luka and Derrick Jones Jr., because Derrick Jones Jr. was going to be my pick for just his impressions, because I didn't think he was going to play at all this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless this is garbage time minutes and he's playing the meaningful minutes.
Wasn't the last signing? Like, didn't we sign him like 2 weeks or like a week before training camp or even into training? Like, he was the last
person. Yeah, he was one of the last ones, and he hasn't looked back, honestly. So, if I didn't choose him, it honestly has to be Derek Lively. I mean, just from what he's done, and it's really crazy to think about, because this is what the Mavs needed. You know, a big man. They also need a wing, but the biggest answer was a big man. We talked about Dwight Powell the past few years, and what they've needed, and they really got it in the draft, and they traded down, and they still got him. And his name, I think you've said it. I mean, he was the best rim protector in the draft, but his name was really in like the mid first round. No one had him as high as he went, and as high as the Mavericks target him with the initial pick, and he's panned out.
Yeah, and a lot of that is the traditional center role is gone, right? But when on the right team and on the right fit, like, that role can still exist.
Yeah, and not just what he's doing, but he's doing it on a rookie contract. So you have like 4 years.
Yep.
To, you know, until you really have to pay him, so you can have you have more flexibility amongst your roster. You know, you don't have to worry about, oh, let's give Derrick Jones, you know, 10 mil. Like, you don't have to worry about, you know, those type of decisions or the trade deadline. We have let's get a guy with a big contract that expires in 3 years. You know, you don't have to have that worry, because he's on a rookie deal and he's going to be the starting center for you. Not making much, where other starting centers are making so much more. So that's another thing. And once he figures out the foul trouble and he can play 30 minutes a game, I mean, it's really going to help this Mavs team. And because that's why it's the biggest surprise, because when you just see him, and I hate to go back to the comparisons, but you really see Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
You really see it when he – just the way he dunks, the way he grabs rebounds, the way he blocks shots, the way he sets picks. He's getting better at his picks, which is great too. Like, he's going to be just what he is now comparative to the second half of the season. It's going to be night and day just from experience. Because you see it now that he's starting to know where the lob is going to be, or knowing to have your hands ready. Because the first five or six games, he dropped a few passes and he wasn't ready a couple times. Like, now he's starting to get all, like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And I think that's been so surprising to me, because I thought we would see this a couple years from now.
Yeah, he's been great.
Sean Avaz, that's the end of the episode, but next week is Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So I guess this is the time. What are you most thankful for on this Mavs team?
Oh boy. I'm not going to go with Luka again, cause that's cheesy. You know what? I'm going to go Nico Harrison.
Oh, okay.
I'm thankful for Nico. I love what he's done the last 2 years. I think he's been just better than I expected when he was hired.
That's a good answer. I'm going to go Jason Kidd. I'm thankful for him getting back to what he was a couple years ago. I wrote about it. I said it. I mean, you see a totally different person from last year. I think he stopped watching. I think he's actually coaching again, which is great. And people say, oh, no, they got a full training camp or a preseason with Kyrie. They went overseas. They have that bond, which is all great and true. But you actually see Jason Kidd coaching, mm-hmm. like, you with this team. And, you know, the Luka and Kyrie have mentioned him as one of their mentors. And he's actually having conversations during the game. You see him waving his hands. Finally. Like he's playing against the Suns, you know? Like he's coaching out there. He's calling out defensive schemes when he sees something. You know, he's doing so much. And he's also putting trust. Because when he listed Derrick Jones as the starter for the first game, we all thought it was going to be Josh Green. And we're like, whoa, what is going on? That's worked out. Him playing Exum over Hardy and over Curry at times. We're like, what is he doing? That's worked out. And, you know, it's just, it's been great. So Nico and Jason, we're thankful for what you've done with the Mavs this season. Goodbye, everyone.